lovely to be here. It's our son Reuben's birthday last Monday, and he's now 14. And he thinks he knows everything, but he's only 14. And it's wonderful and great to see him growing up. But the problem comes as children get older, the presents that they want are more expensive. Do you know what I mean? You may find out with your grandkids as well. A cheap bit of a plastic toy doesn't suffice anymore. And parenting is great, isn't it? But it is expensive. No one ever tells you that. Reuben's clothes are more expensive now. Not because he wants designer gear, but because he's huge. He is so tall now. And so the clothes cost more because there's more material in them. I can remember being in the hospital delivery room on my own with Kezia when Jem had gone to have a shower, and I was holding her and looking at her with a deep sense of love and care, but also an overwhelming sense of, oh heck, I'm your dad. I now have to look after you. I sometimes struggle to look after myself. So how on earth am I going to look after you? I have to be able to provide for all your needs. And I had a real sense of the enormity of it all. And then I realized that she had Jem as her mum, so she's going to be okay. And over the last nearly 17 years, I've obviously got used to being a parent and all that it entails. And it's a privilege to be the parent and to provide for the needs of Kezia and Reuben. And you know, there are times when I say to them, it's not your job to provide that. That's my job as your dad. It may be school shoes as Kezia, not Reuben, but Kezia will see how much they cost. Reuben will just take whatever he can get, but Kezia will see how much they cost. And she goes, it's okay, I'll pay for those. But no. You're still our responsibility. And that's my job to provide for that. It may be emotional support and help and many more things. And I'll say to them, it's not your job to worry about that. That's my job as your dad to worry about that, to provide those things for you in many different ways. And you see, as their dad, I am many things to them. Yes, the cliche, I am taxi. Especially yesterday when I picked up Kezia and her cousin and they sat in the back of the car last night, which makes you feel even more like a taxi. I'm the bad joke teller. I'm the annoying father figure in the house. But of all the many things I am to them, the main thing, I suppose, or one of the things I am to them is of provider, of what they need to be able to live. But actually, I'd go further than that and say what they need to be able to thrive. Some of you will know that Kezia has struggled with health issues for the past 2.5 years. And as her parents, we've provided her with all that she's needed to be able to endure, but to thrive. That may have been paying for a tutor to help her catch up on things that she has missed in school. It may have been meeting teachers and having many meetings, all with the aim of fighting her corner so that the school provided what they were supposed to. And when she got her results, her GCSE results, one of the teachers came up to us and he said, I want to thank you as parents for all you've provided for Kezia over the last year. And he said, you made me realize that I have to provide for those kids whose parents don't provide for them. And hold that thought in your mind, that we have people in our life that we provide for in lots of different ways. And we do it because we want them to thrive. We want them to be all they can be. Not to have all of the stuff, but to be able to live life in the right way. And like me, you will have had seasons in your life when you've been the provider, when others have provided for you. But what do we mean when we say the word provider? What do you think of when we hear the word provider? If you look at the definition of the word to provide, we read, make available for use, to supply. The origins of the word provide mean to be before, to see, to foresee what is coming. And in that word provide, there's that sense that the provider can see even the things that the providee can't see that they need. And to go before, to see them and to supply those needs even before that person realizes they need them. And I think this is a wonderful definition of what God does. Because God sees what we need even before we know what's coming. My mum always used to say, oh, I'm so glad I don't know what's around the corner. Sometimes she said it as she was driving, but she said, you know, I don't know what's around the corner in life. She said, 'cause sometimes what comes is not what I want to come. But actually, you can flip that, and we can't see what's coming down the road. We can't see what's around the corner, but God does. Because God foresees that, and He provides, He supplies what we need, for ever will come our way. And all of this leads us on to the second revealing name of God, the second word portrait. Remember, all of these names of God tell us something about Himself. And the second name that we're looking at that God uses to tell us something about Himself and to help us know Him better is Jehovah. There we are. Jehovah Jireh. It means the Lord will see and the Lord will provide. And the word Jireh is only seen once in Scripture. We see it in Genesis, where Abram is on that horrendous father-son trip, where God has asked Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac. And in Genesis 22, verse 8, after Isaac has looked around and thinks, what are we going to use to sacrifice? Where is the lamb? Abraham simply says, God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son. So let's look at that passage. Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 to 14. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied, here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will show you. The next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. And then he chopped wood for a fire for burnt offering and set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Stay here with the donkey, Abraham told the servants. The boy and I will travel a little further. We will worship there, and then we will come right back. So Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders, while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them walked on together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. We have the fire and the wood, the boy said, but where is the sheep for the burnt offering? God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son, Abraham answered him. And they both walked on together. When they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. And Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment,
the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham."
"Yes," Abraham replied,
"here I am."
"Don't lay a hand on the boy," the angel said. "Do not hurt him in any way. For now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son."
Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in a thicket. So he took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in place of his son. Abraham named the place Yahweh Yireh, which means "the Lord will provide." And to this day, people still use that name as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Can you imagine how confused and scared Abraham must have felt?
If you read that account in Genesis, there's no mention that Abraham had talked that through with his wife, Sarah, probably because she would have tried to talk him out of it. She might have thought he had lost his mind. He was also confused because God had promised to make Abraham a great nation, and yet if Isaac, his only son, was to die, then how on earth is that going to happen? After all, Abraham and Sarah certainly weren't spring chickens. So Abraham is facing the trial of his life, and he's in the dark as to how this is all going to work out. But do you know what? As an aside, God does some of his best work when we're in the dark. When we're in that, it feels like it's pitch black and we can't see the hand in front of us because all of the circumstances around us just seem dark. We seem lost. In that moment, if we will trust God, God does some of his best work when we're in the dark. And we know the end of the story, and it's through his faith and complete trust in God that Abraham sees God as a provider in a real sense. That ram that suddenly is there is not just a ram caught in the thicket, it is God's amazing, miraculous hand in a way that blows Abraham away. Can you imagine the relief from Abraham? I'm sure there would have been a physical expression in his body at the relief. There was probably tears streaming down his face. And actually, probably, as Abraham and Isaac are walking up one side of the mountain, and Abraham is wrestling, thinking, how on earth is all this going to work out? The ram that God already knew he was going to provide was slowly making his way up the other side of the mountain. God knew how he was going to provide, even though Abraham couldn't see it at that point. Remember, we don't know what's around the corner. But God sees what's coming around the corner, and he provides. This, in the Hebrew, is Yahweh Jireh, Jehovah Jireh. Abraham is saying, God will see, and God will provide. And in a wonderful, miraculous way, God did see, and God did provide that ram. And to us, this in 2025, and all through my Christian life, people have struggled with this passage. On the one hand, it's an awful passage. It seems to us the most cruelest of tests. How on earth could God ask that of a father? But we need to see the historical context, and that is that in that region, there were still some people who did offer their children as the ultimate sacrifice. And so while awful and confusing in our modern context, Abraham would have been aware that that went on. And who knows, maybe this was God's way of showing in the most dramatic of fashion that it was not something that he would tolerate. Not only did God provide a ram to sacrifice, but he already had in mind, walking up the other side of the hill, if you like, there was Jesus, who would be the ultimate sacrifice once and for all. Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will see and the Lord will provide. And he certainly did that with Abraham. He'll certainly do that with you and with me. And linked to the word provide is the word provision. And vision is something that is seen. God has the vision, the ability to see what we need and to provide for us, even when we cannot see how.
And this name for God doesn't just apply to Abraham in the Old Testament, even though the name Jireh is only seen here in Genesis chapter 22. The working out of God's name as Jehovah Jireh is a central theme throughout the whole of Scripture. And we see this in the New Testament, in Matthew's Gospel, for example, where we can see that God is still a God who sees and provides. Leading up to the passage I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 6, Jesus has been teaching about money and how we cannot serve money and God at the same time. And then he goes on to say, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. I'm sure none of us have worried about everyday life, have we? That's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Yes, it is, God, but I'm glad we're wearing it this morning. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your Heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon, in all his glory, was not dressed as beautiful as they are. In a modern context, we could say all the models on the catwalks in Milan are not as beautiful as those lilies. And if God cares so wonderfully for wild flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, He will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Now Jesus is saying, why are you worried about getting everything that you want? Why do you waste so much of what you have on things and stuff and the right fashions of the day and so on? Look at creation. Look at the birds. They always have all that they need, and I give them that. Don't you get it? Jesus says, I love you so much more. So trust me to give you all that you need. I see what you need. The Lord will provide. Foresees. I see what you need and I will provide that. I, as your Heavenly Father, God says, already knows all your needs. And that should fill us with a life-affirming confidence that God already knows what we need. God already knows what the rest of your day will hold. God already knows what this week has in store for you. Yes, the bits that you already know that are in your diary or on your calendar, but He knows what you don't know. And He says, if you trust me, I will provide for those needs as they come along. For when we cannot see how it will all work out, God already sees these needs. When we're walking up one side of the mountain, God's provision may already be walking up the other side. And the Message paraphrase puts this wonderfully when it says, steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Isn't that? I love that. When God provides, He says, all. Can you see that little word? Just three letters. All of our human concerns, all of our human needs will be met by Him. You know, this morning God wants to say, my child, I see you. I see what's going on in your life. I see what you need to live well, and I will provide you for that. It doesn't necessarily mean I will provide an abundance for you. I may not give you taste of different food. You may not be able to buy designer clothing, but I will give you what you need. I will provide. You won't be naked, and I will give you something to eat. Even if what you wear is and what you eat is not as good humanly as those around you, but I will give you what you need, and through me as your provider, you will see that I'm giving myself to you, and that's better than anything around us. And it's not just practical needs that God provides. He provides everything we need to live well. In 2001, I was a student minister in a Welsh chapel in a place called Resolven, about 20 minutes outside of Swansea. And every prayer meeting, I might have shared this before, but every prayer meeting, I can see her now. There's a lady, her prayer was always the same. Oh, Lord Jesus, give us our needs, not our wants. There's lots that we want, but give us our needs. That was 25 years ago. And it stays with me. God, give me my needs, not my wants. We often flip that, don't we? We get it the wrong way around. There's lots that we want. But give us our needs, not our wants. Because God does see, and God does provide. We need to be willing to see and accept that. Around 10 years ago, nearly 10 years, I'd come back off a sabbatical and the church said to me, we've got a bit of a problem. We've run out of money and we can't afford to pay you. Okay? But what they could afford to pay me was a half-time stipend. So I prayed about it separately and Jem prayed about it separately and we both came together and we said, I think God is saying I need to go part-time. And so overnight, I don't mind telling you, as a family, we dropped £11,000 in income. But we both felt God was going to provide for us and we didn't quite know how. And around the same time, there was a young curate, really trendy guy, a young curate, lovely guy called Sam. Leads a church plant in Barkingside now. And he used to do a lot of prayer walking. And he was prayer walking around our church. I didn't know it at the time. Our house was on the church grounds at the back of the church. And he knocked my door and he said, I won't come in, but he said, I want to give you something. And he got out of his wallet a £10 note. And he gave me a £10 note. And he said, don't ask me why, but God has just said, I need to give this away. And God wants to tell you that whatever happens in life, he will provide for you. And I think it was around that time, then we dropped this money. Now when Jem came home from work, I said, Sam gave us £10. My instant thought was, Chinese tonight. Jem's far more spiritual than I am. He said, no, we need to keep that as a sign that God will provide for us. And we framed it. You can see how long ago it was, because it's an old £10 note. It's not one of those plastic ones, it's a paper one that will rip. And everywhere we've lived since then, that's come with us. And it goes on the wall, or it goes in my office. As a reminder, not just that I missed out on a Chinese, but as a reminder that God is my Jehovah Jireh. That he will always provide for me. And I could spend the next hour, I'm not going to, don't worry. I could spend the next hour telling you in the most silly of ways how in that season God provided for us. God provided for us as an example. We were in a supermarket and there was nobody in the aisle that we were in and we were just looking at the food and Jem found it, she used to play this game, how much food can we get on a budget because we had dropped a serious amount of money, income for us as a family. And while we were there, there was a guy working and he was just down to our left. And he looked up, didn't know him, never seen him before, and he pointed at me and he said, come here. I said, me? He said, come here. He said, I'm marking all of this stuff down. Have it, it's really cheap. And look, it's all meat. And you can put it in your freezer and it'll last you forever. And there were chickens for 69p and there was lamb for like £1.49 and all of this kind of stuff. And we got It was probably like 30 or 40 pounds worth of meat, and we got it for like a tenner. And we took it home and we filled our freezer. And I looked around and couldn't see that guy. He's gone. The Lord will see and the Lord will provide. Now, we didn't have bucket loads of cash at the end of that time, yet we had everything like we needed. But we had to do our part. So we had to budget more. We had to watch what we spent. We had to make sure we were tithing properly. Because the easy thing to do in that moment was say, okay, we won't tithe. But we carried on tithing. We made sure we didn't put things on the credit card. And you know, two amazing things came out of that season, which is far more than the 30, 40 pounds worth of meat for a tenner. Jem and I had healthy conversations about our finances, probably for the first time in our marriage. The Lord saw and the Lord provided, but he provided for our marriage as well. And we taught our kids about the ideas of budgeting and tithing and giving to God. And we ended that season. It was about 18 months. We ended that season and we didn't have thousands and thousands sitting in our bank account. We had very little, but we just felt blessed. We felt utterly blessed. And over the 9 or 10 years since Sam gave us that £10 note, we testify that the Lord has seen and the Lord has well and truly provided. But you know, the best thing about this season and what that £10 note reminds us of is that we got to know God far deeper. We got to know him on a much deeper level than we knew him before. Because it's through his name, the God who provides, that we've got to know him better. These words of Jesus from Matthew's Gospel are in a passage where Jesus is talking about worry. Jesus is specifically talking about when we worry, we don't have enough food or clothing or other material needs to live. But if we think about the verse from Genesis, where this name for God comes from, when Abraham was about to sacrifice his only son and God provided a ram to take his son's place, we can see that the name Jehovah Jireh is far more than material possession. Because Jehovah Jireh is God as Father being a caring, alert, observant parent who sees everything that we need. Because we're his children. And God provides well-timed solutions for those needs. For Abraham, it was the Lord seeing and providing a way out in a time of crisis. It was the Lord providing for Abraham when there was no other option. And God wants to be known as the one who is there for us, even when all seems lost. Even in those times when we don't know what's going to happen, God says, I will provide and show you another way, another solution. And here's the thing, friends. They're not always the solutions we want, but they're always the solutions we need. Yes, God does provide us, I believe, materially, with food and clothing and money, because he provides jobs for us to be able to earn. He's provided for some of us a pension. He provides relationships. He provides healing to our bodies and minds. He provides restoration in our relationships. He provides comfort when we're in tough situations. He provides that call from a friend when we feel lonely. He provides a new mindset when we're struggling in how we see a situation. He provides all you need to live life to the full, because the Lord sees and the Lord provides, and we have to be willing to accept that. And when we do, we get to know him deeper. We get to know him better. So as you look at your life, and the needs that you have, whatever they may be, may you know that the Lord sees and the Lord will provide. Now, maybe you think God isn't providing you. Well, then we need to look at our lives again and ask if what has been provided isn't necessarily what we assume God would give us, but it's something different. But whatever God gives us, it's his provision. And he is always with us. If you look at the account of the disciples being in a storm, they were annoyed because Jesus is fast asleep in the far end of the boat. And as far as they can, and Jesus doesn't care about them. They wake Jesus up and tell him off that he's not caring. But he tells them off for not trusting, and he calms the waves. Here's the takeaway from that, friends. Yes, they were in a difficult season. Yes, it was frightening. Yes, they were out of their depth. But Jesus was in the boat with them. And Jesus knew what to do. The waves and the wind know his name. And Jesus is in our circumstances, and our struggles know the name of Jesus. And if our struggles know the name of God, then God surely knows what we need as we walk through those circumstances. Now, as I come to a close, you may say, I have loads of circumstances, and God isn't providing for them. We need to see there's a caveat in God's provision. There's a caveat in knowing the name of God as Jehovah Jireh. We see it both in the passage from Matthew and in the passage from Abraham in Genesis. In Genesis chapter 22, after we've read what God told Abraham to do, we read this in verse 3. And this is the caveat. The next morning, Abraham got up early. That's, to me, that's the key to Abraham experiencing the provision of God. Because what does that say? The fact that he got up early says that he didn't deliberate. He didn't say, okay, I'll come back to you in a few days' time, God. He got up early the next morning, probably before his wife was awake, so she could say to him, where are you going? What are you doing? He gets up early. He saddles his donkeys. He gets the servants together. He goes in and he wakes up Isaac. Shh, don't wake your mother. Come. There's no deliberation. There's no thinking about it. It's just complete and utter obedience. The first moment he can get. The next morning, Abraham got up early. That's the key. Obedience is the key to him experiencing God's provision. And in Matthew, the caveat comes in verse 33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. All, as we saw from the message paraphrase earlier, we're to steep our lives in God's realities, initiatives and provisions. You know, to steep, means to soak in. We're going to have a cup of tea and coffee, hopefully, in a few moments. There might even be a bicky or two with it, who knows. But have you noticed something happens when you make a cup of tea and you allow the tea bag to soak in what? You allow it to soak in the boiling water. It's interesting that the flavour of the tea is only brought out through a brutal process. Because if you think about it, pouring boiling water on something is fairly brutal. Steeping, soaking in God can and does mean sacrifice. It can sometimes be painful, as it was for Abraham. But it's in the process of pouring boiling water on the tea bag that the flavour comes out. What process do you need to go through to get to know God's provision? What is it that you need to do to seek the kingdom of God above everything else? What is it that you need to do to steep your life in the reality of God as opposed to everything else? Where is it that you need to get up early and you need to stop deliberating and just be obedient? Because we experience God as Jehovah Jireh as we immerse ourselves in him. When God becomes the main thing in our life, when God has our full attention, when we are instantly, immediately, completely obedient to him. And you know, the wonderful thing is, when we do that with God, sometimes his provision is not so much giving us something, but it's changing our mindset. To realize that actually, what we are whinging and moaning about, we don't need anyway. And he changes our mindset. And that's still his provision. And it's through all of that that we become closer to him. You know, we read in James 4 verse 8, come close to God and God will come close to you. That, friends, is how we experience God as Jehovah Jireh. That's how we experience his amazing provision in our lives. Not like some of the prosperity preachers teach of today. You know, phone this number, it's you giving to God and you'll get all that you want. And a Porsche will appear outside and you'll have that wonderful new kitchen and extension on your house. If only you would trust and give to God. That's a complete, another load of rubbish. Be careful what I said then, it's rubbish. God provides for us all that we need. Not all that we want, but all that we need. When you're struggling and life is getting on top of you, and all everything within you says, I want to run from God. Friends, run to him. And you will see he will provide what you need emotionally, because he's already gone before. He's already seen. Just picture the faithful confidence you would know if you believed God was fully your provider. Because you continually steep your life in him. Simply because. Not because you want to get more, but because you want to know him more. Our lives would be radically transformed if we would choose to get closer to God. And through that closeness, then we experience who he is as Jehovah Jireh. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, we want to confess that in our world, in our lives, often we're just about getting. We're just about, we want the next thing. If we've got a struggle, we want to get rid of that as soon as is humanly possible. And we can sometimes bemoan that this is happening or that's happening, or we haven't got enough of this or we haven't got enough of that. Father, help us to know you as Jehovah Jireh. That you are the God who provides. And yes, you can do that in miraculous ways. You can do it by giving manna. You can do it by giving meat. You can do it by changing our hearts, changing our attitudes. You provide for us by giving us peace and comfort when we're in a season of pain and grief. You can do it by providing that person who just says hello when we're in a season of loneliness. You can do it by giving us clarity when we're in a life season of confusion. There is nothing in our lives that you cannot provide for. Because you are our wonderful Father. And you provide for all that we need. Father, help us through your amazing provision to know you more fully. And to see the goodness of you in our lives and in every aspect of our lives. And may that just speak powerfully to people around us. Yeah, it looks like we haven't got all that they've got, but what we've got is far more important and is far deeper, because we know Jehovah Jireh. And we know who God is. And you are always good. May we know that this day and always. Bless you, Father. Thank you. Amen.